I got this bookmark from the Feast in Canada a couple years ago. It had the word rejoice on it. And then they had something to that corresponded with each letter. And I'd already done one sermon on it, but now I'm going to do another one. It's called Embrace the Promises. We probably all heard promises, you know, that were not kept. I mean, we may have even probably had some of ourselves. Maybe some had not been kept. A lot had just been broken, maybe on purpose, and maybe, you know, something that was unavoidable. You fully intended to keep it, but something happened outside your control. We have the people who make the most promises, politicians. And usually they break them all. And they say what the people want to hear. And if they do keep a promise, it's usually a bad one that we really don't need. But let's look at the Bible and see what some of the promises are that are in there. If you'll turn to Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12. We're going to find out what's the promise of God associated with tithing. Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. In verse 11, and I rebuke and devour for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. We used to be considered a country that was blessed, but not anymore. So God's promises his protection and blessing if we just tithe faithfully and do not make excuses to spend it on something else. People at where my wife works, they'll comment on the second tithe. They know we're still fixing our house. And they're like, well, why don't you use that money to finish the house? Her response is right. It's not our money. So they just don't really get that, but don't know the truth. You don't understand that. And it also says if you tithe, God keeps Satan away from you. And what better blessing is there than that? There's something we see every year. Probably someone sees it every day somewhere in the world. That's a promise from God. If you'll turn to Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Genesis 9, 8 through 17. We'll see what that is. In verse 8, then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Verse 16, the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Verse 17, and God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh, and that it is on the earth. He emphasized the covenant several times that was his promise to all flesh. And the Bible uses the word promise 127 times in Scripture, which would be a good study to look at each one of them. And then there's one more I'd like to look at. If you turn to Matthew 6, we'll read 25 through 34. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So having faith in God and his promises should remove a huge burden from everyone. Yet at times, we all still worry about these things. He has promised us if we seek him first, he takes care of all the rest. You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Here's one of the scriptures they put on the bookmark. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We can't rely on man's promises. If you've been watching the political debates, you know that they are promising many things that they cannot deliver. And if their lips are moving, you know they're lying. But when God gives a promise, it is guaranteed. Titus 1:2 says, God, who cannot lie, has promised eternal life, and with him since before time began.